the book of Exodus at the 14th chapter. Let me say again, it's good to have everybody. Good to have Sean and her children here this morning. Thank you so much for coming. Amen. Good to see Brother and Sister Lozano and Sister Everett today. Amen. We love having you here. God bless you. And all of the church family, we're glad you're here. Thank you so much for being here this morning. I know we got folks scattered here and there, but we're not going to preach to those that are not. We're going to preach to those that are.
Yes, amen.
Is that all right?
Come on.
Amen. I don't get upset when people need to go and visit somebody because every now and then I want to go visit somebody. All right? So I don't want you to get mad at me when I got to go visit somebody. So, amen. All right. Exodus chapter 14, verse number 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, don't be scared. Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you the debt today. For the Egyptians whom you see have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Wow. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Everybody say, stand still. Stand still. Stand still. Amen. That's what I want to preach about this morning. Just stand still. God bless you. You may be seated. Let me tell you a little bit about Israel's dilemma. God had miraculously delivered them out of the land of Egypt after serving 430 years in servitude. God, through 10 plagues, varying plagues, had delivered Israel and had given them great riches. This to me is always such a fascinating story, that the Bible said that God gave Israel favor with their masters, these people that had been over them all these years, and all of a sudden they just started giving these Israelites gold and silver and all kinds of precious things. Isn't that amazing? They just started giving it to them. And just something came over them, and they said, I just want to give you this. Isn't that glorious? And so they had all this gold and silver and stuff that God just provided. You reckon he could still do stuff like that?
Oh yeah, come on.
I believe he can. Amen. God can provide for us. But here, just let me just say this. Don't get your eyes on that kind of thing. You just let God go ahead and provide. But don't make that your central focus in life. Some people get their eyes so much on the goal they forget about their God. So let's don't focus too much on the stuff. Let's just focus on the Lord. You see, Israel, they had their focus on God, and then God just provided the things they needed. If you'll keep your focus on God, He'll take care of all of your needs. For I, my God, is able to supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord. He's able, He's willing, He will. The Bible said He shall provide. Amen. But don't get your eyes on the provision and so much that you forget about the provider. Amen. God provides for our needs. But Israel's dilemma was, after they had been delivered and they're excited and they're rejoicing and they're praising God for what the Lord has done, and all of a sudden they look behind them and they see the dust rising from the desert as the armies of Pharaoh pursue them with mighty chariots and their horses and their armament, and they're so afraid. They look before them and they see the Red Sea. They look behind them, they see the armies of Pharaoh, and they know that there's no place to go. It's a dilemma. Amen. But when God has delivered you and you find yourself on the proverbial horns of a dilemma, let me tell you that God is still there and His provision is still sufficient. God is going to take care of His people. Amen. How do you know that God is strong? Because you have weakness, and God shows up in His strength and shows you how strong He is. How do you know that God's a healer? Because you get sick and God provides healing for you. How do you know that God's a Savior? Because you were lost in your sin and He reached down and He saved you. God always reveals His glory in the time of your dilemma. Amen. God is telling Israel, you know I'm a deliverer. I delivered you out of Egypt. But let me show you what else I can do. Amen. And so we find ourselves in a problem. I was thinking this morning about Job. You know, one of the great stories, we always talk about Job, and we talk about God, but you know, what about his wife? What about his friends? One of the great things that it's easy to miss, and you notice this when you're with somebody when they're going through a dilemma, and you see what it's doing to the family. Sometimes we can focus so much on the individual that's in the dilemma that we don't see what's happening to the family. But God is just as concerned about the family as He is about Job. God is just as concerned about the friends as He is about Job. You see, the family's on this roller coaster of emotion, going up and down and having difficulties, believing, having doubts, and it's a struggle. And they're going through all of these things. Amen. But it's important that somehow we're able to focus our faith. Nail your faith, amen, strong to the wall and say, God, whatever happens, whatever I see, whatever I hear, I'm still going to believe You. I'm not going to allow myself to be swayed by what I see or what I hear. Once I've heard from God, that's enough. Amen. The Bible said, that faith cometh by what? By hearing. And when you hear from God, you hold on to that. And don't let anything dissuade you. Praise God. That's what happened to Israel, you see. They got to looking around. And when they got to looking around, isn't that what happened to Peter when he's walking on the water? Amen. He wasn't walking on the water. He was walking on the Word of God. Right. Jesus said, come. That's what allowed him to walk on water. He was walking on the Word of the Lord. He was walking on the promise of God. He bails off the ship. He's walking across that raging tide and those tormentous waves. And he's just walking toward Jesus. And he's doing great as long as he's on the Word of God. But suddenly, he gets his eyes off of the Word and he starts looking around and he gets thinking, hey, I'm walking on water. No, you're not. You're standing on the Word. But you get your eyes off of the Lord and you get your mind off of the Word and you start looking at the situation and you start sinking beneath the waves. Amen. Praise God. That's exactly what happened to Peter. Hey, you got to stay focused. You got to stand still. When everything inside of you is saying run, you got to stand still. And Brother Fry used to live in Alaska, home of grizzlies. And he taught me an interesting lesson. I've never been to Alaska, and I've never been bear hunting, but if I ever go, I know what to do. When you go bear hunting, you always pick a partner that's slower than you are. You never hunt with anybody faster than you. Amen. So that's the first lesson that he taught me about grizzly hunting. I guess it matters whether you're a good shot or not, just as long as you can outrun the other guy. But The Bible said that the Israel was in this dilemma. They were between the Red Sea and the armies of Pharaoh. And they were so fearful. They were upset with Moses. They were singing his praises a few minutes ago. This is how fickle people are. If people start praising you, don't let it go to your head. Because it won't be long before they'll be saying bad things about you. So it just happens real quick. Like that. So it's, you know, somebody said compliments are like perfume. You just dab a little on, but don't drink it down. That's what it's made. Just put a little on there, brother. Try to get the effect, but you don't drink it. Amen. Compliments are like that. You don't swallow them because it gets you in trouble. Amen. In a little bit, you'll be throwing up. Amen. And so Israel's in this problem there. And now they've turned on Moses, and they're accusing him of things, and armies coming. And so Moses, he tells them, first of all, he says, fear not, stand still. Everybody say, stand still. Now that's hard to do when your feet want to run. When you're standing in a situation and it takes everything you can do not to run away. Amen. Now Moses learned that lesson. When Moses got in a dilemma, the first thing he did was run. He ran all the way from Egypt to Midian. And he spent the next 40 years in the desert. And when God appeared to him after 40 years in a burning bush, the first thing he said was what? Take off your shoes. Get rid of your running gear, bud. Your running days are over. The first thing he said is get your Nikes off your feet. Amen. Don't you run another step, Moses. You stand right there and you listen to me. And so Moses learned how to take a stand. And then when he was leading Israel and they got in a dilemma, he'd already learned that lesson. He said, running does not work. So stand still. Amen. He had learned that if you'll stand still, God will show up and show you things that will astound you. And so he tells him, he says, wait on God. Boy, waiting is hard to do, isn't it? It's always been hard for me. I remember as a little boy, my mom, we lived out in the country, and we'd stop at the store and we'd get a watermelon. And mom would say, now we're going to cut this afternoon. I mean, this was morning. It was torment to look at that big old black diamond watermelon and know I had to wait all day before I'd ever get a taste of it. And so my mom was so sweet. She said, now we want to find out if this is right. So you know what plugging a watermelon is? Anybody ever plug a watermelon? Amen. You cut a little triangle in it, and you pull that core out. Amen. And we always got to try the core of that watermelon. And then we knew it was good, and that even made it worse. Because we had to wait hours and hours before we got to it. We used to have family gatherings, and we made homemade ice cream. Anybody ever make homemade ice cream? Woo! Boy, you talk about good. My job as a little boy was to sit on top of the freezer to keep it stable while they turned the handle. And it seemed like forever to make homemade ice cream. And then after it got to a certain place, they let it set for a while. Forget the set and let's get with it. Amen. That waiting is a hard process. And I'm not a lot, but I'm trying real hard, but I still don't like to wait. But you have to wait on God. God does not move with an hour time frame. And so there are times in life that all you can do is just stand still. Stand on the Word of God. Stand on the promises. And just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. Now let me explain to you that while you're standing, God is busy. He's working things out. Amen. I like this part. The Bible says that when Israel stood still, that the cloud that went before them suddenly went behind them. You know what God is saying? He said, I've got your back. Amen. Let me tell somebody here this morning, God's got your back. No matter what you're going through, your situation, God's got your back. It's going to be okay. He's taking care of the situation. You just stand still and wait on Him. So God goes behind. You know why He did that? Because He wanted to be between Israel and the Egyptians. And the Bible said for the Egyptian camp, it was dark. But for the camp of Israel, it was light. Hallelujah. Amen. God made a division between the Egyptians and the Israelites. And the Israelites were walking in light, and the Egyptians were walking in darkness. And then God tells Moses, He said, you stretch your hand out over the sea. And he stretches out his hand, and the Bible said the waters began to divide. And they made walls on the right hand and on the left. And there was just a wide chasm of water, amen, on the right side and on the left. And then the east wind began to blow through that tunnel, as it were, with a force of heat and wind until it dried up the mud and it became stable enough for about 2 or 3 million people to walk through there. God thinks of everything, doesn't He? He didn't even let their feet get muddy. Amen. Wasn't that considerate? Praise the Lord. So he didn't let their feet get muddy. He dried up the ground for them. He had the water on each side. Don't you think? I mean, that had to be the world's first aquarium. I mean, walking through there watching the fishes, you know, the little kids, they look at that, mommy, look at that. And that is a big one. Amen. That had to be interesting. Amen. Just walking right through the sea. Amen. And it was an exciting event for Israel to walk through. And then Pharaoh, the Bible says, it's almost like God reached out and got a hook in his jaw and said, come this way, boy. And here comes Pharaoh and his armies. And they get in the middle of the sea. And suddenly those walls begin to crumble and walls of water begin to crash together with a tremendous force. And there's a turmoil going on as they crash together. And the armies of Pharaoh and their chariots and their horses are just all mixed up in the boiling of the water as God brings their enemy to an end. Amen. You see, when you get in the dilemma, just stand still and see the salvation of God. When you don't know what to do, don't do anything. I said, don't do anything. Just stand still. Most of the time, we get ourselves in trouble by overreacting. Amen. I have learned, and I've heard from my elders, that about 90% of our problems solve themselves. And the 10% that don't, you can't work it out anyway. So it's not worth worrying about. Amen. But I've always, you know, people all the time, they come and they say, Brother Christian, we need to do something. So-and-so, we need to do something, do something, do something. You know what we need to do? Stand still. Stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord. Until He says do something, don't do anything. Until He says go, don't go. Until He says do something, stand still. Because you get to fixing things. Woo! You talk about a mess. Anybody ever had that happen to you? I got to do something. I got to do something. Look what's going on. I got to do something, Brother Fry. Got to do something. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. Amen. It'll take God 2 years to work it out. But if you'll just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God will come through for you.
Yes.
So you stand still. That means being active. And the second thing he says is stand still also just means, it means to remain in place. It means not to be removed. It means to persevere. When everything in you wants to give up, you don't give up. When everything in you wants to stop, you don't stop. When everything in you wants to run, you don't run. You just stand your ground. Where did I read that? The Bible said that if we resist the devil, what happens? He'll flee from us. What does it say before that? Does anybody remember? The Bible says, submit yourselves to the Lord. Everybody say submit. Submit yourself to the Lord and resist the devil. You see, the submission comes before the resisting. You submit yourself to God and then you resist the devil. And when you are submitted to God and you resist the devil, then he flees from you. Because unless you are submitted to God, you will not have strength to resist the devil. Because the power of resistance is not yours, it's his. Amen. Praise God. And so you've got to stand still until the storm passes by. Amen. Until the storm passes by. Amen. The Bible says, when you've done all to stand, what do? Stand, therefore. Put on the whole armor of God. Remember that in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. He says that we are to put on the whole armor of God. He said we're supposed to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Having your loins girded about with truth. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Watching unto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Just take a stand. Now, when he talks about your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, Romans had boots that had they had like spikes on the bottom. They did that because they could plant their feet and they would stay where they put them. There's nothing worse than being in a scuffle, in a fight, in a battle, and have your feet slip. So when they planted their feet, they would stay. Amen. Brother Ward, is it important to have your feet stable whenever you're wrestling? Amen. And you got an enemy, you got a foe, and you're trying to, and all of a sudden your feet slip and you go down. And you're defeated. Can't do that. Amen. So they would plant their feet. Friend, you need to have your feet planted. You need to be stable, steadfast. Amen. Before your enemy. So they cannot defeat you. Stand fast. Stand fast. Stand fast. I'm going to close this morning with this illustration that I love. A storm was coming. Parents were visiting next door. They left their little daughter home by herself for a few minutes while they slipped over to the neighbor's house, not expecting the storm to rise. But as soon as they heard the thunder, they rushed out of the house, began to run down the sidewalk as the rain began to come down in torrents. As they got close to the house, they heard the voice of their little daughter, and she was singing as loud as she could sing. She was singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so." They rushed through the door and they saw her standing on the coffee table. On the coffee table, they had a big family Bible. And she was standing on top of that big old Bible. And they said, Honey, what are you doing up there?" She said, "I'm standing on the Word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away." Amen. Hey, when you're in the middle of a storm, stand on the Word of God. Stand on the Word of God. Stand on the Word of God. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Let's stand together. Amen. Hey, you can depend on Him. You can stand when the storm is raging, if you stand on the Word of God. He's steadfast. He's sure. His promises are yea and amen. They're without change. They're unshakable. They're steadfast. Standing on the Word of God. Stand still. Stand still. There's some things going on right now. There's some shaking going on, but you stand still. There's some things moving in the Spirit here today, but you stand still. You stand still. Amen. When everything inside of you feels like you need to do something, you just stand still. When you want to run, just stand still. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Stand still. Stand still. Amen. Let God work it out. Let God finish what He has already started. Amen. You don't know what the Lord's already done in your behalf. So don't try to run from it. Don't try to go away. You just let the Lord work today. Just let God work today. Amen. Praise God. I want to open the altar here this morning for prayer. If somebody's in a dilemma and you feel pressures, amen, and there's fear trying to get in your heart and doubts trying to get in your mind, your spirit is troubled today, and I want you to just come and stand still. I want you to just come to this altar today and plant your feet and say, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground sinking sand. Amen. I'm going to stand today steadfast on the promises of God. Amen. How about it? Somebody, you got a dilemma in your life, you got some turmoil going on, and you're just going to confess to the Lord by your coming today that you're going to accept His Word and stand on His promise. Amen. Because Jesus never fails.